This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel. The title of this installment is Jewish Crypsis, Religion, Part 3. I'm sorry to keep dragging this on. I really don't want to talk about this subject any longer. I'm interested to talk about other things. But I've started this, and I said at the get-go, because I knew that there was a lot to this, a lot of different aspects, and that's why there's a Part 3, and there'll very likely be a Part 4. This time I want to focus on where I left off the last time, which is the conclusion. The last time was, I said the Jews are a people, not a religion. And I think that's the main takeaway. And in fact, that's why discussing this Jewish religion is under Jewish Crypsis. It's part of the Crypsis. It's part of the way that Jews hide. Now, in the things that I'm going to talk about here, I'm going to point to Jews talking about their religion and not hiding so much behind it. They're weaselly with their words, but if you read closely enough, if you pay attention, you can see that they're actually saying that Jewishness is not about religion. And I'll cite some examples here. Where it comes up, the pretense that they are a religion is most of the rest of the time, and especially whenever they're arguing with or dealing with non-Jews, that's when they pretend that Jewishness is all about religion and it's only about religion. And you see comments like, oh, I don't know, if something comes up in the news where a Jew does something wrong and somebody mentions the fact that they're a Jew will pipe up and say, but what difference does his religion make? As if Jewishness is all about religion, and specifically with the idea being to excuse the person because, or excuse Jewishness, I should say, because what does religion have to do with a financial scandal? So I'm not going to provide many examples or any examples really of that aspect of the pretense. What I'm digging into here is the fact that it is a pretense, that Jewishness equals religion. Now, the last time I actually cited an article from Moment magazine about atheism and Jewishness or Judaism, and I only briefly talked about it, and I quoted long sections of it in the program post. But even so, I got a comment from someone who wrote, as a Christian, I am a little confused when you state that Jews are a people, not a religion. Well, obviously, I didn't make my point well enough, and so I'm going to reiterate a little bit and cover some of the that Moment magazine article that I only briefly mentioned. The idea of that article was how to square the reality of so many Jewish atheists and Jews being openly calling themselves atheists with the idea that supposedly Jewishness is a religion. And that's what this article was to, in a way, explain. It was really Jews talking to themselves about this issue. And so they were being somewhat frank. They knew that they were doing it in a public forum. Moment magazine isn't available only to Jews. It's available to anyone who wants to read it. But it is Jews talking to Jews about what's best for Jews. The title of the article was, Can There Be Judaism Without Belief in God? And just to sum it up, I would say that of the dozen or so experts, authorities that they published the ideas of, the consensus was, yes, of course. There is – some of the people argued that God is important, but they argued from the basis that God is important in order for the Jewish people to continue. They interpreted the title, Can There Be Judaism Without a Belief in God, instead as can the Jews continue to exist without belief in God? Or, you know, the old saw, the old rule of Jews is it good for the Jews? Is God good for the Jews? That was basically what it came down to for most, if not all, of the people who wrote. One of them that I cited was Abraham Infeld, who said, Judaism is not a religion and was not a religion until the emancipation and our encounter with modernity. Modernity being the goyim, you know, and having to live the goyim's liberalism, which invited the Jews in and said, hey, live with us, be part of us, which was a foolish mistake on the part of Europeans, a fatal mistake. Well, hopefully not fatal, but it's certainly beginning to look that way. But of course, the Jews are only concerned about, was this good or bad for the Jews? And this Abraham Infeld says that this whole idea that it was even a religion is only in order to cope with this confrontation with modernity. It's the culture of the Jewish people. So he sees Judaism as the culture of the Jewish people. Does an individual Jew have to believe in God to be part of Judaism? I don't think so. Being a people means identifying with a shared memory and a narrative and having responsibility for its future, its renaissance, its well-being. That's what Jews are, he says. He's a senior scholar and advisor at the Nadav Foundation and president emeritus of the Hillel International. All of these people are prominent members of the Jewish community, authorities on the subject. Another one, Masha Gessen, writes, the concept of Jewishness as a religious affiliation is a recent one. Again, that it's this is a new thing, actually, for Jews historically. It's a post-World War II American idea. So she's actually more specific, makes it more recent, and specifically says it's an American idea. And she says that it's essentially a cultural reaction to the need not to think of Jews as an ethnicity. Well, who needs to not think of the Jews as an ethnicity? The Jews don't. The Jews actually do think of themselves as an ethnicity. This is something that they promote. The idea of Jews as a religion, she's basically saying here, admitting that this is an idea that they promoted for the non-Jews, especially the American non-Jews, as a way to think about Jews so that we don't think of them as an ethnicity, because ethnicity is race. It's very closely related to race. And race is supposed to be bad. The rest of the world thinks of Jews as an ethnic group, and to maintain a separate and cohesive population, it's useful to have a religion, she says. Liora Betnitsky writes, it is difficult to conceive of Judaism as a long-term, sustainable tradition without belief in God, or at the very least, belief in the Jewish people. Here's the point I made at the beginning of this. What it's really about here is the Jewish people. With or without God, this particular person seems to think that God is important, but it's important for what? Important for the Jewish people. Goes on to write, it's a complicated issue, and Rabbi Mordecai Kaplan actually struggled with this issue. He rightfully recognized that defining Judaism just in terms of God was problematic. Why was it a problem? Well, it's what the other one put their finger on, that they don't want to be seen as an ethnicity, at least in certain circumstances. So this Kaplan claimed that in many ways modern science made notions of God obsolete. This is something I've said for a long time, and realized years ago, is that the Jewish emancipation and the Age of Reason and the shift in European society from being faith-based and being based on Christianity to losing the Christianity, losing the faith, and shifting instead to a belief in reason and science, basically dropped the fig leaf from the Jews. The Jews had been pretending all along to be religion and religious and just a different religion than you Christians, your spiritual older brothers, in fact. And when science came along and started to uncover the realities of race and the importance of biology, the fig leaf dropped away, and so they had to adapt to it. And Mordecai Kaplan is just one of thousands of Jews who was thinking feverishly about what was best for the Jews and what was the best way to see things so that the Jews could continue. And he's an important figure. I'll get to a little bit more about him. In fact, he's really what this whole – him and his ideas are what this is all about. Without God – this is the same person, Leora Betnitsky, is writing this. Without God, arguments for the Jewish continuity, quote, that there should be Jews in the future, unquote, end up resorting to ethnic chauvinism. That's her conclusion. And she's the chair of the religion department at Princeton University and the author of a book titled How Judaism Became a Religion. Now, this is an admission, basically, that without God, we need God, because without God, people would realize that what the Jews are is an ethnicity, a people, and that we would be accused of ethnic chauvinism, which indeed they are guilty of. They're ethnic chauvinists. They're bigots. They're quote-unquote racists, except, you know, for the fact that the term racist is really meant and used only against white people. It doesn't apply to Jews, and this is, you know, they're afraid of it being applied to them, even the concept, even if the word isn't used. And so this is why they put up this pretense that Jewishness is religion rather than ethnicity, rather than peoplehood. But at the same time, peoplehood is right there. In fact, it's right in this article. Jack M. Sasson writes that especially before the fall of the Ottoman Empire, that's at the end of World War I, the Ottoman Empire was dissolved, belief in God was generally not a troubling issue. There was little differentiation between the religious and the social sphere. So that's the aspect that they're talking about when they say that Jewishness as a religion didn't even come into existence until relatively recently. It's because there was no distinction in the past, and that's something I alluded to in a previous installment, either part one or part two here, I don't recall, that Jewishness was religion, that what we think of today as the Orthodox Jews were the only kind of Jews that there were, these religious Jews, or at least the vast majority, whereas today there's maybe an equal number or even more of these what are so-called secular Jews, you know, various shades of secular, non-religious or non-Orthodox, I should say, Jews that don't – they try to blend in to a certain extent. That's what is different today. I'm sorry. It was actually Leora Batnitsky that mentioned peoplehood. She brought it up in the context of Mordecai Kaplan. That was his term. So Jack Sasson, not to be anticlimactic here, but he's the last person I thought it was worth excerpting from this article. Just to sum up the thoughts on this article, the whole point of it is – who is us and what's good for us? As I've said, this is the essence of identity. It's the essence of any group identity. The Jews recognize it and the Jews do it. This article is all about it. What does it mean to be a Jew? They argue about it. They discuss it amongst themselves, and they do it because then the next thing that you discuss is, well, what should we do? Now that we know who we are, what's best for us? What steps should we take to improve our lot? Now, in thinking about how to describe the Jews, even in the previous installments, toward the tail end of that last installment, I thought of the word peoplehood. And like other words that I don't use every day, I wanted to look it up to see, you know, is my idea of what this word means, what it really means, before I go and use it. And to my surprise, when I looked up the word peoplehood, if you search for peoplehood, the number one hit is Jewish peoplehood. And it's, I tried to dig into this to find out if that's why the word was actually coined, and I couldn't really get to an answer about it. But I will say that peoplehood is overwhelmingly associated with the Jews. That is where the term is most often used. You can find peoplehood defined in a normal English dictionary without any reference to Jews, but it seems like the word has been popularized by Jews for Jews. It's specifically to refer to this point that I'm trying to make, which is that the Jews are a people, not a religion. The Wikipedia article on Jewish peoplehood says, Jewish peoplehood is the awareness of the underlying unity that makes an individual Jew a part of the Jewish people. The first significant use of the peoplehood concept was by Mordecai Kaplan, who they describe as a 20th century Jewish thinker, who was searching for a term that would enable him to describe the complex nature of Jewish belonging. Just to cite a few little sentences from this article, the centrality of the peoplehood of in the Jewish religion. A little later it says, Judaism exists for the sake of the Jewish people, rather than the Jewish people existing for the sake of Judaism. Kaplan's purpose in developing the Jewish peoplehood idea was to create a vision broad enough to include everyone who identified as a Jew, regardless of individual approaches to that identity. And there was some controversy about him that I read in some other places. He was seen as a bit of a heretic by Orthodox Jews because he specifically broadened Jewishness beyond mere orthodoxy and adherence to the Orthodox traditions, including their religious traditions and their view of Jews as being Orthodox Jews. But the point here about what he did and why he did it is that he coined this term to serve the interests of the Jews collectively. That's what he was doing. That's what his motives were. And if you search, it doesn't really matter what search engine you use, Google, Bing, Yahoo, they all return Jewish peoplehood as the number one hit for a search for peoplehood. It's an interesting word because if you go and search for peoplehood, amongst the other hits you'll find are various Jewish organizations that are organizing around this idea of peoplehood. They use it as a sort of code word for race, basically, and for their racial interests. They talk about Jewish peoplehood in the way that white racialists would talk about the white race and trying to save the white race or do what's best for the white race. They talk about doing what's best for Jewish peoplehood. In fact, one that I'll link in the program post is Koret Foundation, which is the subtitle on all of their pages is The Impact of Strategic Philanthropy. What this is a very wealthy Jew in some clothing business in California set up a foundation, this Koret Foundation, to disperse his money for the best interests of the Jews. And the twist is that he married a Korean woman, apparently, ethnically Korean. I don't know if she's crypto-Jewish Korean or what, but the organization, if you look at who's on the board and so forth, it's her, I guess he's dead now, and a bunch of Jews. And then in the management of the foundation are about two-thirds Jews and one-third Koreans, or Asians at least, and they're based in San Francisco. But the point here is that they list two main concerns that they're focusing their money, their strategic philanthropy is directed to. One is an initiative on Jewish peoplehood. This is the importance of the Jewish peoplehood concept. They describe Jewish peoplehood as love of education, respect for hard work, appreciation of community, and pastrami on rye. It's a typical Jewish nonsense about who the Jews are and what they're about. For thousands of years, the concept of Jewish peoplehood has inspired, intrigued, vexed, and perplexed Jews and non-Jews alike. The point of that, of me reading that and citing that, is that even though the term has only existed for 100 years, that the or a little slightly more, that they see that it's the concept is actually something that's much, much older, thousands of years old. The idea that the Jews are a people, not a religion. They see, and they're not the only ones, but every Jew who buys into this Jewish peoplehood and talks about Jewish peoplehood is basically saying the same thing, that it's a long-term concept of what a Jew is and always has been, or at least has been for a long time. The other main initiative that they have is the initiative to combat anti-Semitism. And as I've mentioned in previous installments, that's just code for doing what's best for the Jews, fighting for the Jews, for Jewish interests, aggressing against non-Jews, effectively combating them. And as I say, this keyword peoplehood is a good keyword to go out and find all sorts of stuff. I could do installment after installment about the stuff I discover with this. I can see it's a gold mine, basically, or the key to a gold mine. I'll cite a couple of articles. One here is titled "Why the Jewish Community Should Fund Peoplehood" from Forward.com. And it's just exactly what the title says. It's an argument about why Jews should cough up their money. Prominent Jewish sociologists have identified the declining bonds of peoplehood as one of the most significant challenges posed by modernity and by a culture of universalism. Having been raised in a world of pluralism and tolerance, Jews younger than 45 do not necessarily privilege their Jewish brothers and sisters above others when it comes to friendship, marriage, volunteerism, and charitable giving. Well, this makes me think of peoplehoodism as code for racism. That's basically what it is. This is privileging your Jewish brothers and sisters above others. This is exactly the opposite of the liberalism, the quote-unquote liberalism that Jews preach and the tolerance that Jews preach for everybody else to practice. They don't practice it themselves. They have this idea of peoplehood, which is very, very narrow and constrained to their own people. And that's where their philanthropy is aimed. That's where their goodwill is aimed. And the rest of it is a pretense to get everybody else to be thinking in universal terms, especially white people who they know are sort of suckers for that line of reasoning, that line of thinking. Another article that I can cite about peopleholism is The Shelf Life of Jewish Peoplehood. This is actually a skeptical article that seems to be ignorant of the fact that peopleholism or peoplehood is actually a 100-year-old term. It sees it as a new term. Apparently, it's a trending term. It's one of these things that a lot of people are using most recently. But the interesting thing about this article is it cites Leon Weisseltier once wrote that being Jewish is not like other identities and, quote, perhaps there is a relief in allowing it to be different. I think to be Jewish is not to be an American or a Westerner or a New Yorker, he wrote. To be a Jew is to be a Jew. It is its own thing, its own category, its own autonomous way of moving through the world. It's ancient and thick and vast, and it's one specific thing that's not like anything else. Now, this guy is a literary editor for The New Republic, a quote-unquote liberal magazine. He's, you know, probably postures as a liberal. This is, as I've just said, this is the antithesis of liberalism, this idea of yourself belonging to a people that is separate from everybody else. Liberalism is the idea that everybody is one. We're all us. You know, the flip side of the Jews' recognition of their own peoplehood is the activities that they take in dissolving the peoplehood of others, and especially of Europeans, of whites. They're pushing for open society and pushing anti-racism, calling whites doing what Jews do without apology, calling that racism, and demonizing it and pathologizing it. That's the flip side. It's the other side of the coin of Jewish peoplehood, is the attack on other people's peoplehood. In fact, and there's one more article with that I'll probably take the picture for this post from, of a hand grasping a globe under the title is Jewish World Homepage, and it's, again, about Jewish peoplehood. I've talked in previous installments about this issue of particularism versus universalism and how it's white people who see the world in universalist terms, see our responsibility to be to create a society in which everyone is safe and equal and treated the same, treated as part of us. Whereas, meanwhile, the Jews see themselves in particularist terms as a people who come first. And what's important, even God doesn't come before their people. Whether God is important or not depends on whether it's good or not for the people. That's how extreme it is. I mean, it's hard for white people, especially white people trained or indoctrinated in Christian way of seeing things, to even comprehend this way that the Jews have of seeing things. And as I pointed out when I talked about particularism versus universalism, they're not compatible. They're two opposite extremes of how to look at the world, and even more important, how to define morality. Universal morality is a morality that thinks that there's a set of rules that applies equally to everyone. If something is good, it's good for everyone. If something's bad, it's bad for everyone. Whereas a particularist morality, like the Jews practice, what's good and bad all depends on who your people are and whether it's good or bad for them. And that's critically important. That's the lesson that white people should take from looking at the Jews, from understanding how the Jews do things, from understanding how they're successful. We should be paying close attention to that. Not only to emulate it, but because that's what's harming us. By making a safe society open and equal for everyone, we open ourselves to abuse by people like this who essentially take advantage of that situation and think of themselves and what's good for them separately. Now, one other last point I'd like to make is about the Jewish people as God. And I don't have any sources about that. I remember somebody mentioning something along those lines and even citing a source early on when I first started to come to understand the Jews as an enemy and not just as innocent victims. And I'll just leave that idea at that, that you can see in a way that the Jews see themselves as God, see the Jewish people, the collective, as God. That's one way of understanding how they behave and how they describe things. Just to reiterate again, the Jews are a people, not a religion. There are people who regard Jewishness as the most important aspect of themselves and who see peoplehood as the most important thing about Jewishness. Historically, they've used religious customs and traditions as trappings, really, as a cover, as an excuse. It's an ideological tool to cling together biologically in opposition to the people around them. And the key feature of Jewish identity, really, is this idea of being persecuted by the people around them, and it serves as justification to look down upon, to lie, to cheat, to defraud the other, which is us.